Our message title is Treasure Up and Ponder. Treasure Up and Ponder. I do have a little fill in the blank I want to start off with, and it's two questions. Let's go ahead and put that up. What do you think deeply about, and what do you hold dear in your heart? As we step into these Christmas season, days of celebration, there are many precious moments in people's lives, and there are some things that are struggles. And so I want us to start off with these questions as we look at this idea together. Look at that for a second. What do you think deeply about, and what do you hold dear in your heart? And as we allow the Holy Spirit to begin working in us, I would like to, we've been praying a lot this morning, but I want to go ahead and invite us to pray together again. Hallelujah. Father God, we want to thank you for your lordship and your sovereignty and your authority over our lives. We thank you that your perfect love and that you are worthy of all of our trust and confidence. We pray too, Lord, for the good things that you have to release at this season. And we lift our hearts to you for a fresh work of your Spirit. We all settle our hearts before you, saying, I'm all yours, Lord. Amen. As we begin this Christmas season, I believe the Lord has a new level of fruitfulness for us, both individually and corporately. I don't usually say things like this. I sense, though, that the Lord is initiating a release of things. Many of us have felt the pruning shears of the Lord of recent date. We've had things cut into in our lives. Some of us have felt the Lord moving us into a deeper, some deeper ways of relying upon Him. How many of you are relating to anything I'm saying here? So there's change in the air. I believe that the Lord, a shift is coming spiritually upon the world. And I believe God is awakening and preparing His people to be a fresh voice and a loving impact upon the culture around us. And I want us to take this season and look into the Christmas story and see what we can glean from the Word of God, because there's a lot of spiritual activity in the Bible narrative that we call the Christmas story. There are encounters with God through angels, dreams, the Holy Spirit moving, prophecies, the impact of God's direction given to wise men and shepherds. There are multiple witnesses of God's goodness. When Father God sends Jesus to be born Savior of the world, there's a kind of a massive coordination behind the scenes. Let's just notice these few things. In the east, God sends a sign to the heavens, into the heavens, and alerts these wise men who study the stars according to the information they learned that the Messiah, the King of the Jews, would be born. He sets them in motion, and they start off. God sends this angel, Gabriel, to talk to Zacharias about his barren wife Elizabeth having a child. Because of doubt, he's struck mute until the baby is born, and Zacharias confirms that the baby is to be named John. When the baby's born, his mouth is opened, and after he writes it on a pad and declares that John is his name. And then the story continues, because John the Baptist, this is baby John the Baptist, is born 6 months before Jesus. The angel Gabriel visits also Mary. He visits Mary and tells Mary that she's going to give birth to Jesus, the Messiah, and that the Holy Spirit will overshadow her. And Mary says, so be it to me according to your word. And then the angel Gabriel sends Mary to her cousin's house, and her cousin's name is, of course, Elizabeth. And she's been 6 months pregnant. And the moment Mary greets Elizabeth, the moment she steps in, the baby inside of her womb leaps. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth immediately prophesies and said, "This and why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Listen to those words. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord, she's speaking to this newly conceived baby in the womb of Mary. Why is the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be the fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So she prophesies, and Mary now, moved upon by the Holy Spirit, she writes a song of praise. She starts writing a song called, it's known as the Magnificat, which is prophesies God's goodness and sending the Messiah through her life. And then God sends Gabriel into a dream of Joseph to confirm that what God's doing is truly of God's doing it. So he wouldn't get rid of Mary because now she's conceived. And so he says, I want you to take care of your betrothed. Bringing forth the birth of Jesus is this spiritually orchestrated event, God becoming man and being born a baby in the manger divinely sets things in motion. The angel comes and announces the birth of Jesus to the shepherds who are tending the sheep at night. The shepherds run to see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. The wise men end up coming, bowing before the child, and they're warned by God in a dream to return another way and not to report back to Herod. And Joseph and Mary take the baby to the priest on the eighth day, and Jesus, after Jesus' birth, and Simon, the priest, prophesies over Jesus, and his parents, Joseph and Mary, marvel at what this prophetic word is. And even Anna, a 84-year-old prophetess, gives thanks to God, spreading the word to all who are waiting the redemption of Israel. And tucked in this Christmas story and all these different people involved, right after the shepherds, there comes this little statement after the angels have spoken. And this little statement, and I was riding along in my car, and the Holy Spirit moved on my heart and caused this statement from the Bible to become a weight in my spirit. And it's this. And you says, you're fill in the blank. It's Luke 2:19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary treasured up all these things and pondering them in her heart. There was 12 years later when Jesus went to the temple and was teaching and was amazing the scribes and the people listening to him expound the scripture as a 12-year-old. And we see this word, same kind of word. It's not exactly the same word in the Greek, but it's Luke 2:51b. It says, his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. So here's the questions. What are the precious things the Lord has done or is doing in your life? Let's take a moment and pause. Are those things safely guarded? Are you keeping precious watch over your relationship with Jesus Christ? Or have the moments of encounter with Him and His purpose for your life been forgotten? You see, there's a spoiled brat called the devil. And he's jealous over every good thing that God does in our lives. This is because he used to bring praise to God. He was cast out of heaven, and he has desired to receive praise as if he is God. He's the problem where evil originates. You got God as the kingdom of light, and you got Satan in the kingdom of darkness is a contrast. You remove the light, there's the darkness. The moment light appears, the darkness is cast aside. And when a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, he or she is moved from the kingdom of darkness, from the domain of darkness, into the kingdom of the beloved Son, the kingdom of light. I want to mention this to you about Satan. He cannot rejoice with those who rejoice, and he cannot weep with those who weep. His soul is hardened in rebellion, and he's set against the Lord in every way imaginable. He hates goodness in all its forms, and he craves to destroy everything representing the loving, living God, our Savior. So when we talk about holding on to what God has freely given, we're also talking about keeping the devil from picking your pockets, because he's after him. Jesus taught us well in John 10:10. The thief comes only to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. Look at that. The thief doesn't come for any reason except to take away, whatever God has given you. He comes to eliminate the things that are freely given to you by the Lord. And it's up to you and me to lay hold of them and to treasure them up and to ponder them. Because they will be stolen, and they can be stolen, because he's a good thief. He's very sharp and very, very good at what he does. He's the devil, and he hates anything that God gives you. The moment you get joy, he wants it. The moment you get peace, he wants it. The moment you feel loved, he wants it. He wants to keep you in despair. He wants to put you under, and especially at the season of the year when we celebrate the birth of the Son, he wants to come over like Herod and kill off every new thing that would happen in your life. He is set to destroy and set to kill and set to steal it. But Christ Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He's Jesus. It's what are you going to treasure up? What are you going to hold fast to inside of yourself? Jesus taught us in the parable of the sower. Sower sows the word. The bird comes immediately to steal it. Satan comes immediately to take away the things that are given to you, even in the hearing my voice. It's not my voice or what I say. It's what the Holy Spirit will say to you. Something's going to be said to you today. Maybe several things. But the Lord's going to speak, and the devil's going to want to take it. He's going to try to get it. He's going to try to get you in an argument. He's going to try to take it away. Somehow he wants to deplete you of what happened. And Jesus doesn't want that taken away. What do you want? So there's this key word. I was driving in the car, and the Lord just kept bringing this to my heart. You know how the Lord does it when you have a word spoken to you from the Lord or something from the Scripture, and it becomes alive. And it wouldn't leave me alone. And even in preparing this message, it was like, is this it? The Lord said, have you ever had a time when he just keeps pulling you back? It's not over there, it's right here. Right. So I go, well, what is it right here? And it's the word kept. It's the word treasured. Treasured up. It's this word, centurero. Terero, and then this little prefix on the front, centurero. And this is the Greek word. It's to preserve. It's to preserve a thing from perishing or being lost. To keep within oneself, to keep in mind a thing lest it be forgotten. It's to preserve. Do you know where this is also used? This is amazing. This same word is used when in Luke 5, I think 18 or somewhere along there, when it says that you put new wine, not in an old wineskin, but you put it into a new wineskin so it will be centurero. So it will be reserved. It will be preserved. There is a dynamic life that God gives us. It's a dynamic living thing, and it percolates. It seasons. It ferments. It causes a strength and a power to rise up inside of us. He says, will you be flexible? Will you be that one that I can work in? And just don't let anything take it. You know the people. I know people. They once knew the Lord. They once walked with him. What happened? They didn't treasure it up. They didn't hold fast to it. They didn't preserve it. Somehow it got forgotten. Warning, Will Robinson. Warning. How do you treat God's word to you? How do you treat your own redemptive story? Do you treasure it? Do you preserve it from perishing or being lost? Do you keep his word within yourself, lest it be forgotten? Do you treasure up the things of God? King David has a word about that. He says, concerning the word, more to be desired than they are gold. Read this with me. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. The word of God is so precious. He says it's more precious than gold and silver. It's sweeter than honey And when I keep it, there's great reward because I'm warned. And somehow in the midst of this, I sense that there is a warning. Because on the crest of a new thing, and knowing that the devil wants to take it away, usually when you're about to go for, there's a war, some kind of a battle that comes up when a good thing is about to happen, spiritually speaking. There's a thing that, and he wants to dishearten, he wants to take and disappoint, he wants to create some kind of a strife or some kind of thing to choke it out, to keep you burdened and under something where you don't make it through, and you end up stalling and going off, and another year goes by, and another year goes by, and another year goes by, and you turn into a little defeated. Well, I don't think I can make it to church. Maybe I should read the Bible, but you know, I watched that stuff last night on TV, and been in these conversations lately. I don't know what's been going on in my life. No treasuring up. No preserving. No keeping the life. And something goes stale in the soul. And there's a loss. And time slips away. And relationships become frail. And your sense of distance with the Lord. And the next thing the devil says is, why don't you just kill yourself? Why don't you just end it? Why don't you just throw in the towel? Depression seems to be what you deserve. Why? Let's go back before all that. What has Jesus done for you? Has he touched your life in some way? Do you have a redemptive history? Is there God invading your life? Can you go back to those moments where you know nobody can take that away from you? What do you recall to mind? Do you bask in his goodness? I was recalling with a friend some of the powerful things. Just to reminisce on, I remember when God did this and when God did that, when God did this, and Mary treasured up those things in her heart. When those shepherds came, I remember when those people, we did that and the Lord's presence was there. And it's like you begin to relive and begin to soak in the reality of the goodness of the Lord. It makes you alive again. And we're on the verge of a fresh season and fresh gifts from the Lord coming. And I'm here in the wilderness blowing a trumpet saying, get over here. Something got to change in the way you're approaching your life. Because something's slipping. Mary was practicing biblical theology way back. She was practicing, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. She was practicing this. What is shaping your life? What is shaping your life these days? What is shaping your life? What are the things that you're giving your mind to? What is renewing your mind? Is it going down or is it coming up? Is it being transformed or conformed? What is happening between your ears? What is the eye gate open to? What is the ear open to? Are you bending to the values of the world or standing instead on the promises of God? Colossians 3:2 says this, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Romans 8:5-6 says this. Read this with me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Turn to the person next to you and say, really out of your heart, say, Merry Christmas. Say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Christmas is simply communion taken over the fact that Jesus was born. That we want to commune with the Lord during these days. We want to have times where we break out in celebration and joy. And we want to have a mindset that gives life and peace. Ephesians 4:22 through 23 says, "Put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, which is corrupt through deceitful desires." And there it is again. "Be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Now let's take a little deeper look at these words here. John 15:10 is where the word torero shows up. It says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." That's that word torero, is to keep. The one sin torero, this is keep. Now look at this word, torero, is to watch, to keep your eye on, to guard from loss. He's saying, keep your eye on my commandments. Keep your eye on it. Don't lose sight of that. What's going after you? What's coming after your mind? What's coming after your eye? What's coming after you? I feel like when I was preparing this, I feel like, what am I doing, Lord? This is not my normal stuff. He says, no, you're warning. You're warning people. You're warning people that would slip away. Somebody's got to stand there and say, from the Lord's heart and from his love, would you abide in the Lord? Let me just go ahead and tell you, none of your life works on your terms anyway. It just doesn't work. So why invest more in a way that doesn't work? Why do you invest in what doesn't work? Well, I've been discouraged. Well, who hasn't? Well, no, you don't understand. Well, I don't understand your situation. But I have had my own arrows to the heart. I have had my own trials. And I can understand the depth of trial that causes someone to spin out and wreck. But it's all based on, what do you treasure? Do you treasure the Jesus Christ that restores? Do you treasure him? Do you treasure the one that puts things together that you could never do on your own? How many of you have that testimony? I could never have done it. The Lord set it in motion, and he did it for me. So there's that word, torero. So the first one, to watch, keep your eye on. The second one, which we talked about, is to preserve a thing. So it's like the sin torero. And then go to the next one. The next one is, his mother treasured up these things. And this is dia torero, which is to keep continually or carefully. In other words, you could preserve this so you don't lose it. Keep your eye on it and do it all the time. Keep it. Keep it. The most valuable thing about your life is your relationship with Jesus Christ and what he's saying to you. That's the most valuable thing about your life. And when it's not the most valuable thing, you put her out. Because your heart is made for his deposit of love that comes into you and makes you alive. Is it right? So Mary's preserving some precious words, some precious events of the life of Jesus. These anointed memories are kept alive within her, and she's keeping to herself these testimonies, these prophecies, these good things that have happened that bore witness to her of who Jesus is in her life, and she keeps her eye on it. She keeps her eye on it. She keeps her eye on it. She keeps holding on to it. She rode a donkey when she was in her third trimester of pregnancy, and we never see that she's complaining. She gives birth in a barn, so to speak, and we never hear about her complaining. Her mom wasn't there to comfort her during her pregnancy and during her birth. She wasn't complaining. She was in a strange place with strange people, and she wasn't complaining. We did not find Mary complaining anywhere. It's because she had a heart that treasured what God was doing. There are many people, and maybe you're one of them, who only remember the bad things that happened to you. And they just kind of hung on and went wrong, and you don't know how, but somehow God got you through it, but you still have the haunting memory of that thing. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just lift your heads, would you? Just lift your heads with me. I just want to decree some things. I want to say some things out loud over your life. I want you to open your heart and just let's pretend that Jesus himself is here and he's going to say these things to you. He's going to free you and release something. So I decree over your life that you will cease refusing to be comforted. That you'll cease refusing comfort. That you'll begin receiving the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That the spirit of death come off your life in the name of Jesus Christ. It come off this season. It be gone this season. That you receive the treasures that God has intended. I speak the treasures that God has intended for your soul. Invade your heart and mind. Oh, something's cracking right now. Thank you, Lord. Somebody's getting hope. They say, it's not going to be the same this year. I'm not going to go into that depression. I'm not going to go down that road. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sense it. Old things pass away. All things become new in the power of Jesus' name. I prophesy this season and decree that the things that held you break off of you and you be released into the treasures that God has for you. Praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord with me. That your mind cease being bound by your mistakes and that the power of the blood of Jesus set you free from shame and condemnation and you are freed from it. And you don't rehearse the loss again. You step up and come out of that in the name of Jesus and break it off. Break it off. The gospel of Jesus is about new life coming into your life. New hope, overthrowing despair. It's about God's empowering grace, and it takes place. And what holds you back, it causes you to not be held back anymore. And you set it aside, and you walk through the days of Christmas receiving gifts from the Lord's Spirit. Hallelujah. It's about receiving His love that from above that breaks. And it breaks the chains and miraculously works in your heart. It causes rejection to go and self-loathing to go. My warning to you is don't treasure bitterness. Don't treasure resentment. Treasure the unfathomable love and grace of God. We have all been bound by sin in some horrific way. All of us have. Each of us have hated the very acts that we've committed. How many of you? We're all in this together. And we've all wondered about ourselves being able to walk out of something and be an overcomer. But I'm telling you that those who put their faith in the Lord and stick it out, something new is discovered. You discover that He's able to do in you that you can't do in yourself. And He's so available to do it. And He's so ready to be the Lord over all the situations of your life. In Jesus' name, whoever you are that feels like you've gone too far down the road, that's a lie and that's a devil's bondage. And in Jesus' name, I take authority over that and break it now. In Jesus' name, yes, any kind of a memory recall work of darkness that says that every time you begin to head there and the devil spits it back up in your mind. In Jesus' name, we're taking out the sponge of the blood and we're going to go washing over the mind. We're going to wash the mind with the power of the blood of Jesus today. Wash the mind with the power of the blood of Jesus. And every time the devil spits, it just falls to the ground and it doesn't stick in your mind anymore. Because he's going to keep spitting, but you're going to walk right past and say, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. I'm free from you. And I'm not falling prey to the wicked ploy of your ways again. Somebody praise the Lord with me. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Treasure up the things of God, my brother and my sister. The words of God in your heart, the encounters of God in your soul, revive them, hold on to them, guard them, cherish them, hold them true. Let them define you. Let the good things that God has done define you, not the bad things that have happened. Let the strength of who he is in your favor begin to be the thing that awakens you every morning. Because we're breaking through. We're getting shed of what circled around last time. We're stepping out of it into newness in life in Christ Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have one more fill in the blank here. It's this one. It's Luke 2:19 again. Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Pondering them. To ponder. Let's step into ponder. We talked about treasuring up. Don't let the devil steal the good things. Pondering. Pondering. It means to bring together in one's mind. It's to confer with oneself. You see, much of the pondering of your life and my life can always be around the thing that went wrong. And the Lord is saying, I want you to ponder about everything that's gone right. The things that I've done, those nice people that I brought into your life, the people who have sowed the seed, the good decisions that you've made, ponder those. Ponder the goodness of the Lord. The Lord wants you to ponder and confer with yourself and bring together what he is saying to you. This is a word for us. The Lord wants you to ponder and confer with yourself and bring together what he's saying to you this season. He's speaking now. The Lord's been talking while I've been talking. And he wants you to respond to what he's saying. He wants you to ponder the things that you have preserved in your heart and guarded from loss. The good things. He wants you to ponder this. Years ago, King David wrote in Psalm 143, verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you've done. I ponder the works of your hands. I ponder the works of your hands. Now, I'm going to finish with this. Another person in the Bible who had a baby. Three men walked up to Abraham's tent. One of them was the Lord himself in his pre-incarnate body. And Sarah is inside the tent. And this Lord says, where is Sarah, your wife? And Abraham said, well, she's in the tent. And the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, and she said, I did not laugh. For she was afraid, and the Lord said, no, you did laugh. That's chapter 18, Genesis. Chapter 21, the Lord visited Sarah, as he said, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. Everybody, Isaac means laughter. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, and as God had commanded him, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah that Abraham and Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. We are all very much like this. And I want to dig a little deeper in some of your lives just for a moment and say to you that there are promises that God has made and He has never given up on what He's going to do in your life. It's no joke. Amen. To Him. It's not a laughing matter to the Lord. And this season, I'm here as a prophet to say, it's going to be now. It's now. Now's the time. Will you receive the word of the Lord that now the Lord is releasing that thing in your life? What is God saying to you today? Look at that with me. What is God saying to you today? Those are coming up to pray. We just have a few people here. Lift your head. Would you do that? Just lift your head before the Lord. Because the Lord has spoken to you. And it's easy for us to pretend that this is a lecture and close the book and walk out the door. But this isn't a lecture. This is a message. And a message is different. God speaks to people in a message. And He's saying, what are you going to do with what I've said to you today? Because it's easy to go back into what you were without a renewed mind. But the Lord's saying, we're not doing that. What is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord saying to you? Hallelujah. What is He saying to your heart? Let's all stand together. We're going to dismiss in a minute. I don't do a lot of this myself. I do it sometime, but I felt like the Lord just showed me a journal. Somebody needs to start journaling. You need to write down the good things of God and get a handle on the goodness of God in your life. And write it down. Some of you have had a tendency, I don't know, maybe one or two, but to mope. To always look at a negative thing and just mope. That means put your head down and let it beat you up and mope. And the Lord is saying, lift your head up. I have good things for you. Break the spirit of moping. Don't look at this season and feel like I'm going to get on the merry-go-round again of my sadness. This is not that time. The Lord is awakening your heart. Is somebody bearing witness to what I'm saying? Is anybody receiving any of this? There's some things that have cracked off already. There's some things. You're saying, I'm sensing a hope. I'm sensing a change. I believe that something's going to occur. So let's put our heads up and I'll just pray and then we'll release our time here together. Father God, we praise You. Let's just praise You. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. I feel like the Lord is calling each of us to the table. Maybe some coffee time. Just sitting with the Lord and fellowshipping. Calling you back. Calling you back to quietness in His presence. Calling you back to conversation with the Lord. Life-giving conversation. You want to say something? Go ahead.
Linger just a little longer in front of your Christmas tree in the morning. Set your clock an hour early and have coffee with the Lord. Tell Him how much you love Him and how sorry you are if you've forgotten all the good things that He's done. Get involved with the things that we're doing here at the church. Show up on Wednesday night for prayer when it's hard to do that because you've worked all day. And watch God change you this Christmas season. Don't make it business as usual and let another Christmas go by and you're at the end and saying, was it all worth it? Make it worth it. Do something that you haven't done before in a gesture to the Lord, to your family, to your church, to your friends, to your co-workers. Put yourself out there and watch what the Lord will do. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here for you. And if not, we have a lovely fellowship time. And we look forward to seeing you. See you Wednesday night.